Hey, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Ramban to talk about in Parshas Re'eh, so I wanted to keep the streak going and speak about a Ramban tonight. If we have time, we'll try to do two passages in the Ramban that are related to one another. The Torah, among the other mitzvahs it speaks about this week, in Parshas Re'eh, speaks about the mitzvah of Shmitas Ksofim, namely that at the end of the seventh year, any loan which one has made to a fellow Jew is going to be canceled at the end of the seventh year. Discussion whether that applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. Our understanding is that it applies not only in Eretz Yisrael, but outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. This concept of Shmitas Ksofim. The Torah emphasizes in Perek Tesvav, in Parashas Re'eh, that this concept or this mitzvah of Shmitas Ksofim applies exclusively to loans that exist between Jews. However, if a Jew has lent money to a non-Jew, so the pasuk says, "As hanachri tigos." You know, there's one may approach the non-Jew even after the end of the Shemitah year and demand back the loan. In other words, Shmitas Ksofim, this cancellation of loans, does not apply to the loan which is taken out between a Jew and a non-Jew. What exactly is the nature of these three words as anachri tigos? In other words, again, we translated the words as one may demand payment back from a non-Jew. It's Perek Tesvav Pasuk Gimel. So the Ramban starts off by quoting Rashi, right here on the Pasuk. Rashi writes, Zo mitzvas aseh. This is a positive commandment as anachri tigos. One should demand payment back from the non-Jew. Lashon Rashi Misifri. Rashi is quoting the Sifri, the Midrashic interpretation of this pasuk. Fine. So what does that mean? Zo mitzvah saseh. This is a positive mitzvah. Uperusho goes on the Ramban to explain what Rashi and what by extension the Sifri mean is the following. Mitzvah saseh be'achicha hanochri tigos below achicha, v'lav sheba michlal aseh. Says Rashi, says the Rabban in explaining Rashi what Chazal mean when they say it's a mitzvah aseh, it's a positive mitzvah to demand back payment from the non-Jew. What it means is, although one may demand back payment from the non-Jew, one may not demand back payment from one's fellow Jew. So in other words, the emphasis in terms of the halacha is not so much what you should or should not do vis-a-vis the non-Jew. It's rather, it's making a statement by implication. It's saying, whereas you may demand payment back from the non-Jew at the end of the 7 years, the concept of Shmitas Ksofim does not apply to that loan between a Jew and a non-Jew. The concept of Shmitas Ksofim very much does apply to the loan taken out between one Jew and another, and not only is there a lo sa'aseh, not only is there a negative commandment, lo yigosus reyehu v'yesachiv, as it says in the pasuk itself, one should not demand payment back from one's fellow Jew. That's a lo sa'aseh, a negative commandment, but by implication, there's a positive commandment, a mitzvah sa'aseh, which is learned out through inference. You may demand payment back from the non-Jew, but you may not demand payment back from the Jew. And that's Ulafisha Shani Ushan Lo Yigos concludes the Ramban. Since we've already, the Torah has already used the language, you should not demand payment back from a fellow Jew. So Litain Olav Lo Saseh, Chazru Vishanu Es Anachri Tigos Zomitzvah Saseh, the whole point that the Torah is trying to say over here is that if one demands payment back from one's fellow Jew, one violates two isurim, two mitzvos. He violates a lo sase, a negative commandment, you can't demand back payment, and he violates an ase, a command which was phrased in a more positive way, you may only demand payment back from a non-Jew, but not from a fellow Jew. Says the Ramban, there's another example of this, which we're going to have in two parashios in Parashas Kiseitse. V'chach omru sham. So too, if we look a little bit further in Parashas Kiseitse, in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Aleph, we find the Pasuk, Lanochri Sashich. The Pasuk in Parshas Kisevtzeh are talking about the prohibition of lending a Jew money with interest. So it says, Ulochicha lo Sashich, you're not allowed to lend money to a fellow Jew, to your brother, with interest, but Lanochri Sashich, if lending money to a non-Jew, you are allowed to lend money with interest. So there too, Chazal Darshan, Lanochri Sashich, Mitzvah Saseh. Ulochicha lo Sashich, Zo Mitzvah Lo Saseh. Right? There's both a Mitzvah Saseh and a Mitzvah Lo Saseh. V'hu kamo shepirashtu Mitzvah Saseh ba'ochicha. That's the same thing we're saying over here, that there is a double violation. Anytime one would lend to a Jew with interest, he violates both a lo sa'aseh and an aseh, both a negative commandment and a positive commandment. V'chach piresh sham Rashi. And indeed Rashi explains over there the following. Lo shiyiye mitzvah lahalvos lanochri klal, v'chein muchach b'gemar perek ezu neshech. What point is the Ramban driving at? So the Ramban says, in both here and later on in Parshas Kitzeitzeh, it's important to make the following point. The Torah does not consider it to be a mitzvah to make a point of lending a non-Jew only with interest, or to make a point of not canceling the loan between a Jew and a non-Jew at the end of the Shemitah year. In other words, although the Torah says, Lanochri Sashich, and it says, Es Hanochri Tigos, the way to read those psukim, says the Ramban, is that you may demand payment back from the non-Jew at the end of the Shemitah year, or you may lend money to the non-Jew with interest. It's not as if the Torah is saying you must demand payment back from the non-Jew at the end of the Shemitah year, or that you must demand interest from the non-Jew. The point that the Torah is trying to bring out is less about the relationship between the Jew and the non-Jew, but only to emphasize that there would be a prohibition in terms of a loan that took place between one Jew and another, both in terms of demanding interest as well as demanding the money back after the cancellation of loans at the end of the Shemitah year. That's the Ramban's position. However, says the Ramban, Harav Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, Asa'on Shteyen Mitzvos Mamush. The Rambam disagrees with this interpretation of the Ramban, and he understands that in both cases the Torah is emphasizing that there's actually a positive mitzvah to go out of one's way, to lend money to a non-Jew with interest, and to go out of one's way to not cancel the loan between a Jew and a non-Jew at the end of the Shemitah year. Lingosis hanochri v'lavoso beribis. The Rambam counts both of these things, this relationship between the Jew and the non-Jew in both cases, as not simply the Torah saying you may do these things, but rather you must do these things. Says the Rambam, the Rambam is wrong in this regard. The Rambam was working off of the same sources that the Ramban was, just as Rashi quotes over here, Zo mitzvah saseh, this is a positive commandment to not cancel the loan between the Jew and the non-Jew at the end of the Shemitah year. But says the Rambam misunderstood what that meant. That didn't mean anything in terms of the Jew and the non-Jew's relationship. You can do whatever you want vis-a-vis the relationship with the non-Jew. It's a mitzvah saseh in the sense that the Torah is shedding light upon the relationship between two Jews, that if a Jew fails to cancel the loan that he has with another Jew at the end of the Shemitah year, he's not only in violation of a negative commandment, he's also violating a positive commandment. I'll give you another example, says the Ramban, of where Chazal speak in this fashion, and here too he feels that the Rambam missed the boat. B'shamu murgo b'makomos rabin, kol of tohar tochelu mitzvah saseh, take another example that in part appears in our Parsha as well, and appears back in Parsha Shmini in Sefer Vayikra. When the Torah introduces the discussion about kosher and non-kosher birds, so the Torah starts off by saying, "Kol of tahar tochelu," you should eat every bird which is a kosher bird. And then the Torah goes on to say, however, birds which are not kosher, you're not allowed to eat. So the Sifri comments, Kol Ov Torah Tochelu, you should eat every bird which is kosher, mitzvah saseh. It's a positive mitzvah. So the Ramban says, so if the Rambam is going to be consistent with his approach to this kind of language that Chazal use, what should emerge is that according to the Rambam, you know, every Jew should be on this eternal quest to find every kosher bird that's out there and have it for dinner. Kol Ov Torah Tochelu. Right? You have to eat every kosher bird. So mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah saseh. Alright, so forget about the other mitzvah saseh. Tefillin, you know, mezuzah. You know, okay, those are hard mitzvahs. Kalov tar tochelu. I get to go out to a chicken restaurant every night and try out a different kind of kosher bird. Wow, that sounds incredible. So says the Ramban, no, that's not what it means in that context. It means, you know, that the Torah is saying the only birds you're allowed to eat are kosher birds. Therefore, if you eat a non-kosher bird, not only have you violated a lo sa'aseh, a negative commandment, but you've also violated, by implication, a positive commandment. You know, when the Torah is in essence saying, thou shalt only eat kosher birds. Right? Not that you have a mitzvah to go out of your way to eat kosher birds, but the only birds you can eat, that you may eat, are birds which are kosher. So too over here, you may refrain from canceling the loan with the non-Jew at the end of the Shemitah year. You may lend the non-Jew with interest, but there's no implication of the Torah, says the Ramban, that you must do these things. V'davar barur hu, concludes the Ramban, this is a clear and obvious thing that I'm saying against the Ramban. The Ramban harps on this idea multiple places in his writings, that the Rambam is mistaken in counting these types of statements as being positive mitzvos, or mistaken in counting them as being mandates that we have to follow. Rather, they're positive mitzvos in the sense that they set up a negative mitzvah by implication. The Torah isn't saying you have to go out and eat all the kosher birds, it's saying only eat kosher birds. You know, this the same thing when it comes to this discussion about loans between a Jew and a non-Jew. The Ramban, the Ravid, joins the Ramban in this regard in arguing against this position of the Rambam. How do we paskim? I don't think either of these issues are directly dealt with in Shulchan Aruch, not in the halachas of Ribbis, and not in the halachas of Shemitah's Ksafim, not in Yaradeh, and not in Choshen Mishpat, where these various different issues come up. It is interesting, Rav Shlomo Luria, in his comments at the beginning of Hilchas Ribbis, quotes an interesting interpretation from the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, who was a Spanish contemporary of the Ramban. The Radak has an interesting comment right in the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. Okay, a little bit further in Tehillim, rather. And the pasuk at the end of Tehillim Tesvav, pasuk K, Kaspo lo nosan b'neshech. The chapter in Tehillim is describing a righteous person. Hashem mi yogur bi yohalecha. Hashem, who is the person who lives in your tents? You know, mi yishkon b'har kodshecha, who dwells upon your holy mountain? And the pesukim in Tehillim go on to describe a person who does all kinds of virtuous things. Kaspo lo nosan b'neshech. He doesn't lend out his money with interest. Writes the Radak, the pasuk is not just simply saying that this person adheres to the laws in the Torah. That wouldn't be such a chiddush. We're talking about somebody who's on a very, very high level of piety. So to say that he's on such a high level of piety and he doesn't violate an explicit law in the Chumash that says that you're not allowed to lend with interest, that's not very high praise. You know, it's like saying about somebody, a guy gets honored at a yeshiva dinner, and they get up and they say, this guy, he's unbelievable. As far as we know, he never murdered anybody. He never stole from anybody. Okay, very nice. You know, that's great. I'm not sure if that's really the bar that we're looking for in order to honor somebody. So the Radak says, Kaspo lo nosan b'neshech means that not only did he refrain from lending money with interest to Jews, which is the halacha, but he even was careful not to lend money to righteous non-Jews which is also considered to be something that's worthy of praise, says the Radak. So it would sound on the surface like the Radak certainly is leaning in the direction of the Ramban over here, rather than the Rambam. The Rambam might say that that's not exemplary conduct at all, that perhaps the person is to be faulted for doing such a thing. Why do I say perhaps? The Minchas Chinuch has the following comment on this machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. Says the Minchas Chinuch, even the Rambam would agree that to refrain from lending money with interest or to cancel the loan of a non-Jew in the Shemitah year, when the non-Jew in question is a Ger Toshav, is somebody who has accepted the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so then says the Minchas Chinuch, even the Rambam would agree that certainly is considered to be okay. The Ramban would say it doesn't matter even if he's an idolater, you know, it doesn't matter what his personal practices are. The Rambam would say that if the person doesn't follow the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so then there would be a prohibition to refrain from giving him interest, to refrain from canceling the loan at the end of the Shemitah year. As the Sefer HaChinuch explains the reason behind the Rambam's prohibition, you know, showing that kind of kindness to somebody whose values are very antithetical to our own might draw us into his way of doing things. We don't want to do that. We want to show there's a very clear demarcation. But once the person is an adherent to the Sheva Mitzvos, but I know after the seven mitzvos that govern the way that the non-Jews of the world are supposed to follow, so says the Minchas Chinuch, even the Rambam would agree that it would be permissible, not obligatory, but permissible, to refrain from charging the person interest, and it would be permissible to cancel the loan at the end of the Shemitah year, you know, to such a non-Jew who falls into that category. So perhaps it could be that the Radak is hinting at that idea from the Minchas Chinuch, and if that's the case, so the Radak might be in line with the Rambam. You know, he's certainly in line with the Ramban, but he might be in line with the Rambam as well. I wanted to share one more thought from the Ramban with regard to these parshios. The parsha talks about lending money. It says that the loan should be canceled in the end of the Shemitah year. And in describing you know, the necessity for this mitzvah to lend money and yet cancel the loan at the end of the Shemitah year, the pasuk says, "Ki lo yechtal evyon mikerev haaretz." Poor people are never going to depart from the land. They're always going to be poor people, so they're always going to be people who need loans. There's always going to be a need to cancel those loans at the end of the Shemitah year. That's why I'm commanding you to keep these mitzvahs, because the need for poor people to be sustained is an everlasting need. That's a need that's never going to go away. So it's a very pragmatic statement, and I think it resonates with most of us. Yeah, you know, poor people don't seem to go away. But arguably, it's an incredibly pessimistic statement. Yeah, ki lo yechtal evyon mikerev haaretz. Is the Torah predicting? Is the Torah promising that poor people are never going to go away? That's depressing. Is that what the Torah is saying? So the Ramban quotes Mefarshim, which Rabbi Chevel points out means the Ibn Ezra, but apparently because he's going to dismiss this position, the Ramban doesn't want to quote the author of this position by name. Mefarshim amru shlo yechtal ho'evyon mikerev ha'aretz be'echad mikol hazmanim. Some Mefarshim say that what the Pasuk means is the Pasuk is essentially promising, threatening, I don't know how you want to call it, but the Pasuk is prophesizing that there will never, ever, ever be a time where there are no poor people. Ki lo olam yihyeh evyon ba'aretz. There are always going to be poor people. Shigalo yihoyu lefonam shlo yasu masha omer lohem ki lo yeh b'choy evyon. The question goes a little bit further. The Pasuk says in this parsha, back in Pasuk Dalet, if you follow these laws and you take care to you know, observe the laws of Shemitah Ksafim, ki lo yiyeh b'cha evyon, there won't be any poor people among you. So that itself leads to an issue which Rashi addresses in his comments. On the one hand, you're telling me, ki lo yiyeh b'cha evyon, if you do what's right, you won't have any poor people among you. On the other hand, a few psukim later, you say, ki lo yechtal evyon mikerev haaretz. There are always going to be poor people among you. So which one is it? So the Ibn Ezra comments, again, perhaps pessimistically, it's true that the Torah promises that if we do the right thing, the poor people will disappear. In other words, well, not the poor people will disappear, their poverty will disappear, right? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to solve the problem of poverty. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also knows, says the Ibn Ezra, that we're not going to succeed in doing Hashem's mitzvos. So, practically speaking, the poor people are always going to be with us. Right? It's sort of a pessimistic way of looking at the world. Right? Yes, if you listen to the voice of Hashem and follow His mitzvos, Hashem is going to alleviate poverty, but since we know that's not going to happen, that we know that you're not going to listen, so Hashem is saying, I know that the poor people are never going to vanish from the world. Says the Ramban, I don't think that's correct to read the Torah in such a way, that the Torah is saying definitively that poor people will never cease to exist. It's true that the Torah speaks of the future. For the Torah to say, Hashem is sure that you will never keep the mitzvahs properly, and thus you will always be cursed with having poor people among you? It just doesn't seem right that the Torah should put forward such a pessimistic view of the way Klal Yisrael are going to function. Chalila, God forbid such a thing. Rak b'derech azhara yazkir hadavar. The only thing that we, perhaps you can say the Torah is saying, if you don't do the right thing, so then you're going to have many poor people among you. But for the Torah to say definitively, I know that you won't do the right thing, and therefore I know that there are always going to be poor people among you, it's just not right for the Torah to speak in such a way. So instead, says the Ramban, what it means is Hanachon Shiomar Shelo Yechtal Evyon Shiye Nimna Shelo Yimotse Od La'olam. The Torah would never say that it's impossible that poor people are going to cease to be in the world. The Torah can just say it's improbable that the issue of poverty is going to go away. Again, I think the assumption is till Moshiach comes. Right? In other words, it's improbable that such a state of affairs is going to be there. So since it's improbable, Al Ked Anochi Mitzavchos Adover Hazayom, therefore says the Torah, in all likelihood, the issue of poor people is an issue which is never going to go away. Therefore, says the Torah, there's an obligation to lend money and there's an obligation of Shemitas Ksafen. But for the Torah to come along and say definitively that the problem of poverty is never going to vanish because the Jewish people are not going to behave properly, says the Ramban, he doesn't think that the Torah would speak in such a pessimistic fashion. I don't know to what extent the following is part of the discussion, but we've discussed in other contexts that Ibn Ezra himself was frightfully poor, incredibly, incredibly poor. And Ibn Ezra himself famously said about himself that he was a person who was cursed with poor luck, that whatever he did in life, he was cursed to be poor. Ibn Ezra famously said that, if I were to go into the business of making tachrichin, of making shrouds for people, no one would ever die. If I would become a candle maker, the sun would never set. He was very pessimistic about his own opportunities for employment. He said, I'm just kind of destined, I'm cursed to be a poor person. We also noted previous year, is a very fascinating machlokas between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban about the poverty of Yitzchak. The Ibn Ezra has a series of comments by Yitzchak Avinu where he writes that in his opinion, Yitzchak Avinu at some point lost all of his money, lost all of his riches. Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says, was a very wealthy man, but apparently when he passed on that wealth to his son Yitzchak, says the Ibn Ezra, Yitzchak must have put the money on the wrong stocks because he lost all of his money. And says that the Ibn Ezra, that's why Esav was able to win over his father's heart by bringing him a nice dinner. A nice dinner. So there's a nice steak for dinner, so all of a sudden you're my favorite son. It seems a little bit odd. Says the Ibn Ezra, because Yitzchak didn't have any money. He was a totally impoverished person. And for such a person, giving him a good dinner was already something very, very meaningful to him. And says the Ibn Ezra, you see from here that you can have great tzaddikim who are poor. And, you know, it's not considered to detract from their status of being great tzaddikim, even if they're impoverished. The Ramban objects over there. The Ramban says the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were complete, not only spiritually, but they had every physical thing that they could possibly want. You know, how could you say about the Avos that Yitzchak would have squandered away or lost all of the riches that he inherited from Avram Avinu? That would point to some deficiency within Yitzchak. But we see, interestingly enough, is that the Ibn Ezra himself was resigned to a life of poverty. He championed, you know, the ability of a poor person to make it in life spiritually, if not physically. And here too, the Ibn Ezra sticks to his guns. Ki lo yechdal ev yom mikarev haaretz. The phenomena of poverty is something, says the Ibn Ezra, which is never, ever, ever going to vanish from the land. Whereas the Ramban is reluctant to say that the Torah would make such a sweeping statement. At most, the Torah is simply saying it's unlikely that poverty will disappear, but for the Torah to say definitively, we know for a fact that there are always going to be poor people, that much the Ramban doesn't seem willing to swallow and to accept as a reading of the Pasuk. Okay, Rabbi Chananya.